We inform.
Our work isn't easy. It was never intended to be easy. Our job as Christians is to be faithful, even if we aren't successful.
We equip.
Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
And we activate.
All God asks of you is faithfulness. That's it. Your availability is what he's concerned about.
Transforming American culture and giving aid to the church here and abroad. This is AFA at the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome to the show today. Glad to be with you today on American Family Radio. My name is Walker Wildman, and the name of the show is AFA at the Core. AFA at the Core is the name of the show. Once again, I'm your host, Walker Wildman. Good to be with you today. The reason we call this show AFA at the Core is because we discuss the core values of the American Family Association, which is the parent ministry of American Family Radio. We discuss those core values, and we also discuss news and issues and topics related to those core values. So that's what we're going to do today again on the show. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to check out our website, afr.net. At our website, afr.net, you can find out more about this show by visiting our show page or our podcast page there at afr.net. Just click on the podcast link and you'll see AFA at the Core show page there. Not only do we post the audio from the show, but we also post the news stories and the resources that we discuss. So go there and get all the information you need about the show. And of course, you can download or subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it be on your Apple device, your Android device, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can subscribe to AFA at the Core. So be sure to do that so you can keep up with the show each week. There's a special project I want to tell you about. I've spoken about it briefly in the past, but American Family Association, just this weekend, we are launching what is called our By Design Project. Our By Design Project, and what this project is about promoting God's design for family, God's design for marriage. And his design is simply one man, one woman for life. That is God's design for the family. And so that's what we're promoting here on American Family Radio, American Family Association. We're promoting By Design, God's design for family and marriage. And just to read the mission statement of By Design, By Design's mission is to educate and encourage people to embrace God's design for marriage and family as a fundamental building block for all of human civilization, and to celebrate the union of one man and one woman as the objective institution that produces human flourishing. So that is the mission statement of our By Design project. For more information about that, you can visit our website, afa.net/by design. That's afa.net/by design to find out more information about that project. And then in the coming weeks, we'll have on with us Abraham Hamilton III from AFA to talk about the By Design Project and what its purpose is, what its mission is, and what you can expect from it in the months ahead. So we'll cover that more on a show in the future. Jumping into the news of the week, you know, I've talked extensively about how, you know, the Democrat Party, they're really out of touch with the American populace. They're really out of touch with the public. Yes, the Democrats do have a large voting bloc. They do have many people who agree with their ideology, with their politics, with their policies. But there sure are a lot of people out there that really just don't like the way the Democrats are taking this country, and they're vehemently opposed to it. I wrote a blog that I want to talk a little bit about. I'm just going to read from it. The title of my blog that I put out last week on our website, afa.net, is titled, Democrats Are Not the Party. Democrats Are Not the Working Class Party. Democrats are not the working class party. For years, we've been told that the Democratic Party is a party of the working class. Democrats have traditionally been associated with the workers' unions and government programs that are aimed at assisting middle to low-income families. But I would submit to you now that this association is built on faulty ground. Democratic elected officials in Washington have made a few major policy decisions that have had a tremendous negative effect on middle to low-income families. First, former Presidents Clinton and Obama spent their presidential terms negotiating trade agreements that transferred American jobs to countries far away. This has left our manufacturing sector decimated with empty factories across America. Former President Trump did much to restore American manufacturing jobs by renegotiating trade agreements. Now, President Biden is doing everything in his power to reverse the Trump-era policies, negotiating unfair trade agreements that open the door for foreign countries to produce and import materials cheaper than American factories ultimately hurts blue-collar workers. Over the decades, American companies have ended up relocating their manufacturing facilities overseas, all in the name of saving said companies money. While their American workers got laid off, this is the story of millions of blue-collar American workers in recent decades. So that's the first thing. The first area where the Democrats are really against American jobs, against American workers, is it when it comes to exporting American jobs. The second area is where the Democrats have really, starting in the 1960s mostly, are really picking up steam in the 1960s under President Lyndon B. Johnson. Democrats pushed this great society. Many of the social welfare programs were birthed during the Great Society. And so the Democrats have continually pushed these welfare programs and expanding the welfare programs, all in the name of helping people. But what has it done? It has created a generation or generations that are dependent on the government to pay their bills and to put food on the table. That is not a good thing. Welfare programs are meant to be short-lived, and they're meant to provide basic essentials of living, food and shelter. But what we've done here is we've turned generations and families into ones that completely rely on the government for paying their bills. And that is a problem. We need to be encouraging people to generate income on their own without having to rely on the government. And lastly, the last area that I want to focus on where the Democrats have really been the party, have not been the party of the working class, is illegal immigration. Democrats support illegal immigration in the name of having a big heart and wanting everyone to come to America, even those who come here illegally. But guess what is sacrificed in the meantime? Blue-collar jobs that should be saved for American citizens, for American workers. Those jobs are instead being taken by illegal aliens. My conclusion here is that the Democratic Party isn't the party of the working class. Instead, Democrats have instituted policies that aid other countries and encourage unemployment. We need policymakers that put America's interest first. We need policymakers that aid American workers and incentivize companies that invest in the American economy. This is what is best for my fellow Americans. You can read that article, that blog there at afa.net. That's our website, afa.net. You can read that article. I want to play a clip here. This is a 9-year-old student, shifting gears here. This is a 9-year-old student. We've heard a couple of these before in recent months. This is a 9-year-old student speaking to her school district, her school board, about politics in school. And, you know, we hear this all the time that, you know, we need to keep politics out of this and politics out of that. Well, that's virtually impossible. Politics makes its way everywhere. And this student here, this 9-year-old student from Minnesota, she's speaking to this school board about how it's hypocritical for the school board to be able to bring politics into school, but when she tries to bring her view and her politics to school, that's not allowed. Let's listen.
The other day I was walking down the hallway at Lakeview Elementary School to give a teacher a retiring gift. I looked up onto the wall and saw a BLM poster and an Amanda Gorman poster. In case you don't know who that chick is, she's some girl who did a poem at Biden's so-called inauguration. I was so mad. I was told 2 weeks ago at this very meeting spot, no politics in school. I believed what you said at this meeting. So at lunch I went up to my principal to tell him about the BLM poster and that I wanted it down. He said it's not coming down. I was like, yeah, it is, because the school board said on May 25th, no BLM or politics in school. He said, that's weird. They were the ones who made them. I was stunned. When I was here 2 weeks ago, you told us to report any BLM in our schools. Apparently, you know they're in our schools because you made the signs. I said there should be no BLM in schools, period. Does not matter the color you make the posters and the font you use. We all understand the meaning. It is a political message about getting rid of police officers, rioting, burning buildings down while King Governor Welch just sits on his throne and watches.
Well, there you have it. That was a 9-year-old student out of Minnesota. And the only thing available is her first name, Novelly. Is the student's name. Novelly is the student's name. This is a from a Washington Examiner article. But you know, this is their goal. This is the goal of the Marxist. This is the goal of the left. This is the goal of the Democrat Party. Anything that you and I believe in, well, that's political. Or that's religious. That's your Christian teachings. And we can't have that in school. We can't do the Pledge of Allegiance. We can't have the In God We Trust poster, right? Because that's political. That's religious. But all of their movements, all of their causes, well, that's fair game. We can have a Black Lives Matter, Inc., which is a Marxist organization. We can have a BLM poster in the school. But if you try to bring anything else, anything conservative, anything Christian, no, 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 we can't bring that because that's political. And we've seen this as something similar go on within the church, within the Christian church. We've seen where, you know, we hear the saying, oh, we just don't want to bring those politics in the church. We don't need to bring all that Republican versus Democrat in the church. Well, folks, this is a battle of worldviews. This is a battle of worldviews. And as I've said before, someone's worldview, someone's viewpoint, someone's policy ideas are going to dominate. We cannot live in this morally relevant facade. There is no such thing as live and let live. That is a hoax. That is a lie. Someone's ideas will dominate. Someone's ideas will be policy and law. So do we want it to be the policies and the ideas of people who believe in God and who believe in liberty and human rights? Or do we want it to be the ideas of people who don't? That's the choice we have to make. Someone's ideas will dominate. AFA at the Core, I'm your host, Walker Wildman. After the break, we'll have Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation as my guest.
One of the common areas in our office has some beautiful flowers in a vase every day. They change color and types throughout the year. But one day last winter, I finally slowed down long enough to smell those beauties. There was no smell, and it turned out...
Those are fake.
You know, flowers can look so real, but have no life. Just like so many folks who look like they really belong to Jesus Christ, but there's no life there. Jesus described people who would come before him on Judgment Day with lots of Christian credentials, but no real faith. He says that he will tell them that he never knew them. That's why the Bible says to examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. The time to realize that you don't really know him is now. You can avoid being turned away by acknowledging what Jesus did on the cross for you, being real and honest about your sin, and wanting Jesus to take over your life as your Savior in your heart. We'd love to help you get started. Call us at 888-NEED-HIM or chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training. Here's another of our core values. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values, and we thank you for your support.
Being there is half the battle. 1MillionDads.com exists to help Christian fathers to be present and intentional in the lives of their children. Our hope is to wake up the fearsome wonder that is the mighty man of God and restore him to his role as leader, teacher, and counselor. We'll help you learn and grow as a Christian father. We'll support each other when we fail to be the dad Christ calls us to be. Visit 1MillionDads.com. 1MillionDads.com.
Transforming American culture and giving aid to the church. This is AFA at the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to AFA at the Core here on American Family Radio. As I mentioned going into the break, last segment, we have on the line with us Stephen McDowell, co-founder of the Providence Foundation and president of its Biblical Worldview University. Stephen has been a friend of the ministry and of my family for years, and we're glad to have him on the show. Stephen, welcome to AFA at the Core.
Well, it's great to be with you, Walker.
Yeah, Stephen, glad to have you on. I wanted to talk a little bit about, for a few minutes, about, you know, this view of government, America's view of government, of the Constitution, of our founding fathers, and there's really an all-out assault on our, not only our founders, but also our founding documents, how our way of life and government is set up to operate. There's just an all-out assault. I mean, pretty much the entire Democrat Party wants to rewrite our founding documents, wants to rewrite the Constitution to fit their current political desires, and we've seen that over and over again. But the first thing I want to really get your input on is... is government, the way we see it set up, is government instituted by God, the God of the Bible?
Yes, civil government is a divine institution. In Genesis 9:6, you know, when God gave Noah a commission, he actually instituted it before, when Cain killed Abel. He came down to handle matters of justice, but then when he started over after the flood, he said, if man sheds man's blood by man, his blood shall be shed. So he lays the foundation of civil government with man. And of course, Romans 13, 1 Peter 2 tells us that civil government has an important function, but it's limited. Basically, the function of civil government, according to those passages, scripture and elsewhere in the Bible, is to protect the life, liberty, and property of people, punishing evildoers. That's why civil government exists. So to protect our property, not plunder our property. And so that's why God instituted civil government, because man, our own person, is a form of property, to the most valuable property that exists. So civil government firstly should protect our life, but as well as everything that we need to maintain our life and fulfill our calling in God.
Yeah, you know, there's this sentiment amongst some Christians, not all, some, you know, where they just don't want to get involved in what they call politics. They don't want to get involved in, you know, local mayoral races, city council races, even statewide and federal races. It's just dirty, Steve. Politics are just dirty.
Yeah.
And I don't really dispute that. Deacon elections are dirty too sometimes. But address that falsehood that Christians really, we don't really have to be involved in politics.
Well, you know, Paul said that civil government is a minister of God to you for good. That's what it's supposed to do. Now, the problem is, throughout history, sinful fallen man has used the power of government to be an instrument of evil, you know, oppressing those who do good. But I like to tell people, Christians who tell me, it's dirty, we shouldn't be involved. I said, well, the Bible says civil government's supposed to be a minister of good, and how can it perform that function if good people aren't involved? Hmm. So good people must get involved in government in order for government to fulfill its divine mission of administering God's justice, protecting the righteous, punishing evildoers. We see, of course, in the Old Testament, lots of God's people were involved in government, obviously, but in the New Testament, I love the example of Erastus. He was part of Paul's missionary team that planted churches, and he then felt called to go from the pulpit ministry, if you will, to the civil ministry, because he became the city treasurer of Corinth. And so the Bible gives plenty of examples of God's people involved in government, because, you know, the Bible says when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Mm. But when the wicked rule, they moan, and God certainly wants us to rejoice.
Yeah, so Christians need to elect godly leaders into civil government. The last thing I want to talk to you about is the early days of our country. I've heard you address this some during I've been with you in Washington D.C. on multiple occasions, but and in some of your writings and videos about how our founding fathers, their primary occupancy or our job, I'm sorry, occupation or job. In the early days of our country, I mean, these were not career politicians. Our founding fathers were not men who all they did was do politics and generate income from serving in government. Talk a little bit about how diverse our founding fathers were.
Yeah, they saw serving in the realm of civil government is just that, service. You know, Jesus taught that civil leaders are to be public servants. And so they, having a biblical view of life, said, okay, we're here not for our own well-being, not so that we can, you know, gain power or influence or money or whatever it is that motivates many politicians today. They were there, said, if we can serve our fellow man in this position, then we will gladly do that. George Washington, he didn't want to be president, but the people said, we've got to have you. After one term, he definitely said, I'm going home. I've served 40 years. And they said, no, we've got to have you. So he sacrificed much to serve the country as commander-in-chief and our first chief executive. But he reflected the heart that the founders had, since they were biblically thinking men, that civil leaders are to be public servants.
Mm. Hey, Stephen, tell us a little bit about your website and what folks can find there.
Well, providencefoundation.com is our website. It's full of all kinds of articles regarding a biblical worldview, government, economics, marketplace, providential history. So lots of articles, videos. We've got many of our books and materials that can be ordered there. It can keep someone busy for a long, long time. and lots of free stuff there for people to read and see and share with others.
All right, Stephen, president, co-founder of the Providence Foundation. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Walker. Bless you.
All right. God bless you. Well, there you have it. That's Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation. So you can go to his website to find out more information. But in addition to going to his website, AFA is offering and has offered recently a special resource for you from Stephen McDowell. It's one of our Cultural Institute video series, and the title is A Biblical View of Civil Government with Stephen McDowell. Once again, the title of this video series that we're offering is A Biblical View of Civil Government with Stephen McDowell, who we just had on the line with us. If you want to go to my podcast page at AFR.net, go to my AFA at the Core podcast page at our website, AFR.net. You can find this special offer, a link to it, and there you can order this DVD. You can even order a 5-pack for your Sunday school, for your family, for your church. You can order as many as you would like there on our website. Just go to my podcast page at AFR.net, click on the AFA at the Core show, and you can find that link to order that video series from Stephen McDowell that AFA is offering. Shifting gears, topics for the show, I want to discuss this story out of Washington, D.C. related to the Internal Revenue Service. And this is a story out of onenewsnow.com, our news service here at American Family Association. But pretty much the essence of this story is about how the IRS has declined a nonprofit application, a 501c3 application, arguing that Bible teachings, I'm not making this up. The IRS letter, the letter that turned down this 501c3 application, and the group that is trying to be established under IRS code, the group is called Christians Engaged. It's a Christian nonprofit organization that exists to educate and empower everyday Christians to vote in every election, to be civically engaged, and to pray for the nation and her elected officials. This group applied for tax-exempt status in 2019. Just last month, the IRS, as I mentioned, declined or denied that application, arguing, listen to this, arguing that this nonprofit was a political campaign intervention. The IRS letter declares the Bible's teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party and its candidates, and concludes that the organization's work is prohibited political campaign intervention. This is shocking. This is chilling. This should disturb us all. Because you know what other groups that sounds like? Well, American Family Radio, American Family Association, many of the other Christian nonprofit organizations out there. We teach the Bible, we teach Scripture, and we urge and we encourage everyone we talk to make sure they're carrying their biblical worldview, their values, with them everywhere, even to the ballot box. But now we have a major federal agency, the IRS, saying that the Bible is somehow this Republican Party tool, which is absurd. But this is a kind of thing I'm talking about. I talked about it earlier in the first segment of how the media and these Democrats, they're dragging, they're muddying the waters on politics, on worldview, on what it means to be an evangelical Christian, on the Republican Party, on conservatism. The reason that you see many Christians vote typically Republican is because when you look at the Republican Party platform, it lines up most well with Scripture, with God's teaching on the issues of our day. The Republican Party has its issues. Many in the Republican Party don't even believe what the party platform says, and I've talked about that. And I wouldn't even describe myself as a, quote, Republican. I'm a Christian, and when I go to vote for people who run for office, I vote for people who most believe in what I believe in as a Christian. But here we have the IRS declining an application for nonprofit status because this group exists to educate and empower everyday Christians to vote in every election, to be civically engaged, and to pray for the nation. So now that is somehow lumped in with a political party, according to the IRS. So First Liberty Institute is representing that law firm and defending their rights to organize under our IRS code. But this is a further, really an extending of what we saw under the Obama administration. Because remember, it was the Obama administration that weaponized the IRS. The Obama administration weaponized the IRS to go after conservative groups. They were holding up hundreds of nonprofit applications for conservative groups under the Obama administration. Remember the name Lois Lerner? She was the person at the IRS who was really responsible for this entire scandal. And what happened to her? Well, not much. And now the IRS is doing this, and they're doing it publicly. And this is the fundamental difference between conservatives and liberals, Democrats, Republicans. Conservatives want open debate, the free flow of ideas, and may the best idea win. The Democrats want to squash speech. They want to squash the opposition. They want to punish people who don't think like them. They want to deny IRS applications for groups that they don't like. This is why the Democrat Party has such a hard time denouncing China, denouncing Russia, denouncing North Korea. Because the way that the dictatorships operate overseas in other countries and countries far, far away is not too different than the way Democrats operate. And we're seeing this with the Democrats being willing to leverage every single institution in our country against our founding fathers, against our founding documents, against the Constitution. That is the enemy within. They hate our country. They hate everything we stand for. They want us to be more like China, more like North Korea, more like totalitarian regimes with dictatorships, more like Venezuela. We don't need that. That's not what is best for America. We need freedom. We need liberty. People should be able to publicly, openly debate ideas without being censored. AFA at the Core, I'm your host, Walker Wildman. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You know, in Matthew 19, the scripture records a Pharisee trying to test Jesus concerning marriage, and Jesus responded, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." In the beginning, the first institution God created was the family. Marriage is the centerpiece of family. As a husband and father myself, let me tell you, marriage is absolutely wonderful. And we want to encourage and educate people to embrace God's design as the fundamental building block for all of human civilization, and to celebrate the lifelong union of one man and one woman as the objective institution that produces human flourishing.
Tune in to By Design as we explore God's true purpose and design for marriage. Just visit the podcast page at AFR.net.
Here's Dr. John Oswalt from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
One of the remarkable things about the God of the Bible is that he is a God who speaks. The writers of the Bible again and again talk of him as the living God, and when they do, they include this idea that the idols are dumb. They cannot speak. Language is an incredible mystery, really. What is it that makes human beings able to communicate in word? Personally, I think that is the image of God in us, because God speaks. Right at the beginning of the Bible, God spoke the world into existence. It did not somehow evolve from his body. It was something that he spoke.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Here are some of our core values. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
The AFA Cultural Institute, a video library of resources dealing with the discussions of our day.
Marriage and family, finances, how we know that the text of the Bible is actually what was originally written. The AFA Cultural Institute takes all of these topics and puts them in the hands of people to be able to equip them.
Start your library of the AFA Cultural Institute, now available for purchase as downloads or DVDs at afastore.net.
AFA at the Core podcasts are available at afr.net. Back to AFA at the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to AFA at the Core. Here on American Family Radio Network, don't forget to check out my show page at afr.net. Click on the podcast page and you can find my show page, AFA at the Core, there. I've also posted a link to the resource from Stephen McDowell there on my show page. You can find that. And of course, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can do that. Just type in the name of the show, AFA at the Core, and click the subscribe button, and then you'll get notified when we upload a new show each week here on American Family Radio. Back to the news of the week. We've had this, there's the Supreme Court case that is still pending before the Supreme Court that has to do with the Mississippi pro-life bill that is aimed at outlawing abortion at 15 weeks and beyond, with the ultimate goal of outlawing abortion altogether. There is currently only one baby killing center or mill in Mississippi, one left in the entire state. And the Mississippi bill is aimed at protecting babies that are born after 15 weeks. That are 15 weeks old or more. And that case is still before the Supreme Court. Of course, the Supreme Court hasn't announced its decision yet. It could be the fall before that decision is announced, is released. And so, in the midst of all these discussions, a couple of reporters have questioned the Democrats as is whether an unborn baby at 15 weeks is a, quote, human being. And this is, remember, this is the state, this is the spiritual state of the Democrat Party. It's a very dark place to be. Let's listen to our first clip here. Let's listen to Nancy Pelosi's response to this question about whether an unborn baby at 15 weeks is a human being. Let's listen.
The Supreme Court this fall will review a Mississippi law that bans most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Is an unborn baby at 15 weeks a human being?
Let me just say that I am a big supporter of Roe v. Wade. I am a mother of 5 children in 6 years. I think I have some standing on this issue as to respecting a woman's right to choose.
Is it a human being?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Well, Nancy Pelosi there refuses to answer the question and talks about how she's a mother and she has standing on this issue. But this is where there is really no debating. The science on this issue is settled, and it has been settled for a long, long time. A baby is a baby from conception. When a child is conceived in the womb, in the very, very early days of pregnancy, that is a child from the moment of conception. That is what the science says. The science is settled. There are no more studies going on about when life begins. And the fortunate thing about Nancy Pelosi's children is that they were apparently allowed to live. Her children were allowed to be born. They weren't killed. The Democrat Party, they are for killing babies. And some of the Democrats have said they're in favor of killing babies up to 40 weeks, up until the day before they're born. We know science shows that a heartbeat begins between 6 and 8 weeks. The child has a heartbeat. You can, in the early months of the pregnancy, you can see the child's body start to develop, arms, legs, hands, face. This is a very, very dark place to be. This is darkness of biblical proportion. For elected officials to be okay with killing babies, this issue of abortion is really the issue. I mean, our country has a lot of problems. But nothing amounts to this. Nothing that I've ever seen in America amounts to this. A defenseless child being murdered in their mother's womb in the name of politics, in the name of choice. And they're heartless. The people who hold these views, they're heartless. Because they're denying science and they're denying a life, a baby to be born, all in the name of convenience. I'm going to play one more clip from this topic. This is another same question, but this time to the White House Press Secretary, Jen Psaki. Let's listen to her response about whether a 15-week-old baby is a human being.
One last question.
Sure.
Does the president believe that a 15-week-old unborn baby is a human being?
Are you asking me if the president supports a woman's right to choose? He does. Go ahead.
Well, that was even worse. She didn't answer the question at all. did not answer the question. That was Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary. Okay, let me translate that for you. Yes, we are okay with killing babies. That's basically what the White House press secretary just said. She did not directly answer the question about whether a baby is a baby at 15 weeks or not. Instead, she said, we support a woman's right to choose. A woman's right to choose what? To choose whether her baby's life is worth keeping or not. And when I say this is the issue, it is. The issue of life. Is life important? Is life valued? Did God create us all in His image? Did God create each of us in His image? Our founding documents talk about the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If we're not allowing babies to be born, to even have a chance at life, how are we carrying out not only Scripture, how are we obeying Scripture, but even our founding documents talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we have the Democrat Party. Folks, this is what's so hypocritical and what really grants the Democrats no standing to talk about this issue. It's because the Democrats claim to be the party of social justice, the party of human rights. Right? Black Lives Matter. That's what they say. Well, what about babies? Does their life not matter? What about babies? This is why you can't. It's the political slogans of the Democrat Party is they're so unreal. They're so fake. That this is why they can't have, you can't really have a sane discussion with the Democrats because they're fine with baby killing. How can you broach any other political issue with seriousness and with respect when you can't even get a major political party to admit that life begins at conception? On this same topic, I'm going to play clip 5 here. This is Joy Behar from The View, and they're talking about baby killing. They're talking about abortion, and Joy Behar completely sidesteps the question, sidesteps the topic, and starts blaming Republicans. Clip 5, let's listen.
Well, I wanted to clear one thing up, or not clear it up, but just make an important point here, is that some people believe that the death penalty is also government-sanctioned murder. And a lot of the people who believe in the death penalty do not believe in abortion. So there's a rather inconsistent thing right there. I personally am pro-choice, and under certain circumstances, I believe in the death penalty. So I am very consistent. Here's the thing about this, what's going on here, in my opinion. The president of the United States, Biden, is one of the most powerful people in the world, maybe along with a couple of other countries. And these bishops could be working with him on climate change. I mean, we're destroying God's earth, okay? And on the refugee crisis and what have you, and poverty in this country. Instead, they want to fight.
Wow. All right, so the first issue there is that Joy Behar, and here's the problem, folks. These left-wing loons are able to spout off falsehoods, lies, and then literally no one challenges them. Joy Behar just compared killing babies with a death sentence, with the death penalty. She is equating, Joy Behar is equating innocent babies in the womb with capital offenders, with murderers, as if those two people are equal and they should deserve the equal treatment. Then she moves on to talk about how, well, these bishops, the context here is these Catholic bishops who are frustrated, who are upset because the Catholic Church still is giving communion to and fostering President Biden and all the other Democrats who claim to be Catholics. These bishops are upset about that, rightfully so. And Joy Behar there says, and she says, well, they just need to move on to something else. They could be working with the president on climate change. They could be working with the president on many other issues. Instead, they're focused on these babies that are being killed, right? Because they need to move on from that. Absolutely insane, absolutely crazy there from Joy Behar. A couple other stories before we wrap up the show. I want to talk about this story or this story from the senator from Florida, Marco Rubio. And we had we've seen the stories about, you know, where the COVID pandemic came from. Did it come out of China? Of course it came out of China. Did it come out of the lab? Was it naturally occurring? And pretty much the consensus is at this point, even though the media has flip-flopped on this, the consensus pretty much is that the pandemic came out of a lab in Wuhan, China. It was released or accidentally released from a lab in Wuhan, China. Let's listen to Senator Marco Rubio on about the dangers that's going on in these China labs. Clip three, let's listen.
Well, what it says is that within 90 days of the bill passing, if China hasn't allowed for a full, clear, transparent investigation as to how this thing started, we start sanctioning people involved in the sciences over there, people involved in this research, the institutions involved in this research. We cut off any and all federal funding for any research that's gain of function or anything like it in conjunction with any of these agencies over there. Look, we already know enough about what happened in China, I think, to tell you they've done something wrong, which is they haven't allowed the world to fully understand how this thing began, and they've covered it up. Now, what it actually leads to, that's what the world needs to know, because the next one could be far worse than this. I mean, coronavirus is terrible. COVID has been terrible. It has killed people. But you've seen what it's done to our society and our country and the world. The next one could be much deadlier, much more disruptive. People forget all this research that China does is still going on right now. They're doing, as we speak, they're doing it today. It didn't stop. This continues.
Well, there you have it. That's a senator from Florida, Marco Rubio, talking about China's still doing these experiments, these tests on animals, on bats, when it comes to coronavirus and other illnesses, other biological weapons. And, you know, I've spoken in recent weeks about the informant, the defector from China that is now in U.S. custody, that stated clearly with the evidence that China is developing bioweapons. They're developing dangerous bioweapons in this lab, in this Wuhan lab. What? That the American taxpayers have footed the bill for, partially at least. So we'll keep an eye on that story. AFA at the Core. I'm your host, Walker Wildman. Don't forget to check out our website, afr.net. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.